Yeah, I just want to read from Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. As the Israelites approach the Red Sea. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal-Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, 'They are wandering in the land, the wilderness has shut them in.' And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed towards the people, and they said, "What is this that we've done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him, and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamped by the sea, at Pi-Hahiroth, in front of Baal-Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Let's just take a pause for a few moments just to let those words sink into us. So last week, when we heard that the Israelites left Egypt and God directed them by the pillar of cloud and fire, we heard that they were directed not just away from the dangers of the Philistine way, which would have been the more direct route, but he took them to the Red Sea, which seems a strange place to be taken. Not only that, they were told to turn back, to go back the way they came, and to make camp by this place, Pi-Hahiroth. I don't know what the Israelites would have thought about that. They'd left Egypt, and now they were being told to turn back and to go into this this corner between the Red Sea and Egypt. And if that had been a military strategy, it would have been disastrous. And yet God deliberately placed them with the sea behind them and facing where the Egyptian army could easily attack. And not only that, but they were camped right under the noses of the Egyptian outpost. There was an Egyptian outpost at Migdal, so they couldn't fail to know that the Israelites were there. It was a very provocative act. It was almost like giving the two fingers to Pharaoh and saying, "You know, we've escaped you. You can't get us now." Which Pharaoh wouldn't take very kindly. I wonder what the Israelites thought about that. How would we have felt about that if we were in their shoes? I mean, maybe we've been in a position, maybe we still are, where we were in a seemingly impossible position between a rock and a hard place. Maybe we were hoping that God was leading us to somewhere better, only to find ourselves in a worse place, an apparently hopeless situation. If we have or are experiencing anything like that, then we've got a good idea of how the Israelites felt at this time. And not surprisingly, they weren't happy. They were scared about what they could see coming, what they thought must inevitably happen. These recently freed slaves would be no match for Pharaoh's army, trained fighting people. And Pharaoh was not going to take this provocation lying down, so he sent his army in all its power after the Israelites. And as we would be, I guess, the Israelites were scared. And they demanded an explanation from Moses as to why they'd been brought to this place. What was going on? Why had he led them out here? But then Moses probably didn't know God's plan any more than the Israelites did. So what would he do in that situation? He did the best thing, and probably the only thing which he could do, and that was to turn to God. It was God who had led them to this place, and it was up to him how he was going to get them out of it, how it was that God was planning to fulfill his promises. So Moses talks to God, and God says this in reply, which we see, we just read in Exodus 14, 13 to 14. "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent." I wonder if that situation sounds at all familiar. There are actually a number of occasions in Scripture when all seems lost, and God's response is just to say, "Trust in him, see what he will do." And on this occasion, they didn't even have to fight. They just had to be where God had put them and see what happens. And we'll get a similar example later on in 2 Chronicles, where Jehoshaphat is faced with a seemingly hopeless situation. Jehoshaphat was being attacked by three enemies at the same time, and he didn't have sufficient forces to put up a realistic fight. So again, Jehoshaphat did what he could, and he turned to God. And in 2 Chronicles 20, we read God's response. "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Yahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, son of Yehiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, 'Listen, all Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Yeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your ground, see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you.'" Which is what Jehoshaphat and the Israelites did. And what happened was that the three armies who were attacking Israel turned on each other and fought amongst themselves. And basically all that was left for the Israelites to do was to go in and mop up and take the spoils, something which the Israelites probably would not have expected, and which would have been quite a surprising way in which they were got out of that bad situation. Again, later on in history, when the Assyrian army besieged Jerusalem with overwhelming force in order to incorporate Judah into the empire, and it looked like Judah would follow their northern neighbors in that direction, but God intervened, and the Assyrians at that time were struck down by a plague, and they were in no condition to fight, so they had to withdraw, and they never came back. And in fact, Jerusalem is the only city that the Assyrians tried to take and failed to do so. So God was on their side and fought in a way which the Israelites on their own could never have done. Moving forward to the New Testament, we have a similar principle in Luke 12, verses 11 to 12. Jesus says this: When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Often when the way ahead seems beyond us for whatever reason, God will tell us just to stand firm, to trust in Him, and He will see us through dangers in ways that we wouldn't expect. And it's not always like that. There are other times when we may be called to be more active. Sometimes we do have to fight to advance along the path. But at other times we just need to be where God wants us to be. But the key, as always, is to keep in step with the Spirit. Unfortunately, we don't have a pillar of cloud to guide us. But what we can do is cultivate ears to hear. We can tune into God, tune into His Spirit by spending time with Him, by praying, by reading the Word, so that when He speaks, we'll recognize His voice. It says that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice and recognize it. And as we get used to hearing the shepherd's voice, then we'll be able to hear Him in the midst of all the clamour, everything else that's going on. In Ephesians 6:14, St. Paul says, having done all, stand firm. So as long as we do what God is telling us to do, whether it's to fight or whether it's to stand our ground or whether it's just to wait and see what He's going to do, once we've done that, then we can just wait and see what happens. Having done all, stand firm. But knowing what all means in any particular context again requires ears to hear, listening to the voice of God. Our place is to follow the leading of God. The rest is up to Him. But there are times when there is a fight involved. When the Israelites eventually got to the Promised Land, they weren't given it on a platter. They had to fight for it. And the first time they tried, they didn't have the courage to do so, which led to the 40 years wandering. But even when they went back the second time, they took the land, but they had to put a bit of fight into it as well. It wasn't just God clearing the way for them. Later on in the desert wanderings, we come across the time when they were being attacked by the Amalekites. And in Exodus 17, we've got these verses. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. Whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. Which also shows us another principle that, yes, sometimes it's a fight, and that's intentional. We don't get it all easy. It wouldn't do us any good if we did. We'd lose our strength, we'd lose our perseverance. And it applies to all of us, not just on a national level as here. But all of us are going through various battles. And the principle here basically is pray for those who are actually fighting the battle. So whether or not we're actively engaged ourselves, we know people who are, and if we pray for them like Moses did, then there'll be victory. If we don't pray for them, then there's a chance that they might be overwhelmed, or at least at the very best, that they would have it much harder than is intended. So sometimes there's a time to fight and there's a time to wait. And when we're waiting, there's a time to pray. So in the case here, going back to the Exodus and the Red Sea, what follows is well known. The Red Sea is parted so that the Israelites can go through. Again, it was a provision in a way that they couldn't and didn't expect. And yet it became the key defining event and the anchor point for the future nation of Israel. right through their history, at least until the time of the exile, and to some extent even to the present day, when they're looking to God and to trust him, they say, as God brought us out of the land of Egypt, so he will deliver us from whatever situation they were in at the time. The Israelites needed that demonstration of God's power to inspire them for what lay in the future. If that hadn't happened, then they may well have just sort of faded away. But the strength that they received and the demonstration that God is trustworthy meant that they could trust him in the future for other things. And the same is true for us as we go through different trials, whatever they are. Then it strengthens our ability to trust God, and it draws us closer to him. God didn't reveal his plan ahead of time to Israel because God wanted his people to trust him. And so he does today. God wants us to trust him, to have faith. And faith and trust are very much the same thing. And in order to build up our faith, he often leads us through dark valleys. But we can, even though we don't know where the dark valley is going, we can hear the shepherd's voice and know that if we're following him, then he will lead us out the other end and into the place that he wants us to be. In Psalm 37, we've got these words. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. So as we head into more uncertain times, whether it's because of lockdowns or whether it's because of other independent circumstances, we can be confident that the God who parted the Red Sea is on our side. He is with us and he will lead us through to the other end, even if we don't know where the path is going. And when we get there, we will be rejoicing at the way in which he has led us there. It could be in a way which we just don't expect any more than the Israelites expected the sea to be parted before them so that they could walk through.